الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى abundantly. We ask Allah to exalt and mention and grant peace and send His blessings and salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many things to discuss, really, especially when you hear so many different ayat addressing so many different topics, specifically things pertaining to the condition of the people on the last day. You can see that this is a theme in the Quran. From the beginning until the end, this message is reiterated, repeated in different styles, different approaches, different choice of words, all of them alluding to the idea that on the Day of Judgment, there will be winners and losers. Just like in school, at the end of the year, there are winners and losers. And whenever the year ends at work, and there are some people who get promoted, and others who might get fired, you will have winners and losers. The common thing between all of them is that those who usually win, unless you have a wasta, right? In this dunya, you might have a connection who will have you bypass things that you're not supposed to bypass. But if we were to set that aside, those who win are those who worked hard. And those who lose are those who are playing around. And this is exactly the same result and the same approach in the religion. That's why Allah says in the Quran that إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ. This worldly life is fun and entertainment. And the life to come is where everybody gets paid full wages. In this worldly life, you will not get paid your full wage. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You will only be paid your full wages on the last day. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. That's the bottom line. If you're moved away, زُحْزِح is like somebody just kind of shifts you away. If you shifted away from the fire and you're admitted to paradise, فَقَدْ فَازَ. This is victory right there. This is victory. Nothing else matters. Your degrees, you're a doctor, PhD, master's, whatever, you have 3-4 villas, 20 cars, land, lots, whatever you want in your name. You want to pay it as fidya. You want to pay it as ransom. So you can save yourself from the fire. It's not the currency for the life to come. It will not be accepted. The disbeliever will try to pay off, ransom himself with everything he has. فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنِهِ. It will not be accepted. Subhanallah. What currency? The one you acquire in the masjid or outside of the masjid. What you're doing now is the currency for success on Yawm Al-Qiyam. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us among those who acquire a lot of wealth. So you have a huge account of good deeds, and then you have a huge real estate in the life to come. You know, you can have acres in Jannah in your name. The person will walk under the shade of a tree in Jannah for 100 years. 100 years. 100 years. You're walking in the shade of a tree. And every time you say Subhanallah or La Hawla wa La Quwwata Illa Billah, Allah will plant a tree for you in Jannah. So can you imagine what type of property, if you make it to Jannah, what type of property we will have? The castles and the Hur al-Ain. We're not going to elaborate on that. It's something that we can't even fathom, can't even begin to imagine. But we have hope in Allah's mercy that we will be gathered in a better gathering than this worldly life. As much as I want to elaborate more on this, we have to highlight certain things pertaining to Zakat al-Fitr. And the first thing we have to mention is the correction of the term. Many people call it fitra. True or false? True. But that name is false. It is not called fitra. Fitra is used to describe
the natural disposition that we were created upon. Fitrat Allah. Allah mentions in the Quran, this is the way you believe, your innate belief in the oneness of Allah. This is your fitrah. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that every mawlud yulad ala al-fitrah. Every son of Adam is born upon that fitrah of believing in Allah. Then it is his father and his parents who either make him a Jew or a Christian or a Magian. So the first thing is, don't use the term fitrah. The only people who use it are the Rafida, the Shia. So when you use this term, you're actually imitating the worst type of people among those who ascribe to Islam. So it's called Zakatul Fitr, because it has to do with Eidul Fitr. And Fitr is the breaking of the fast. Zakatul Fitr is actually a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. A sunnah in a sense that we learn it from him. It's not necessarily stipulated in the Quran. But it doesn't mean that it is optional, which is a very common misconception. When people hear sunnah, they automatically think sunnah equals voluntary. This is incorrect. You have two ways of defining sunnah. Quran and sunnah means the two sources of revelation, the Quran and the hadith. Now those two could either be recommended or obligatory. So you have areas from the sunnah that are obligatory. It's not up to you to do them or not do them. You must do them. But they came from the sunnah in a sense that they're from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we say it's from the sunnah, in a sense that we have a hadith, not ayat, that describe the ruling of Zakatul Fitr, yet it is obligatory on every Muslim, male or female, old or young, whether you're a free person or enslaved. We don't have slavery anymore. And it is something that we must execute just as the Prophet ﷺ instructed, not as Imam Ahmad thinks, or Imam Malik, or Imam Abu Hanifa. And I began with the other ones because we have the Abu Hanifa sickness, rahimahullah. Some Muslims have an Imam Abu Hanifa sickness, as in he does not understand anything except what Imam Abu Hanifa said. Everything else he shuts down. We say this is limitation in the deen. Don't think that when we go against Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, we are undermining his status. Rather, we are honoring him, because we have no doubt that he came to propagate the sunnah. However, in terms of availability of narrations, during his time, they were the most scarce. There was limitation in access to Bukhari collected his ahadith after him. So where was he living? Wherever area in Kufa he was living, for example, or Basra, whatever people he met where he got a hadith from, he would give the ruling accordingly. As time moved and the people were able to collect a hadith from different regions, there was more awareness about certain areas of the deen which were not presented to the imam, rahimahullah. Therefore, he has an opinion, as every other imam, which may conflict with the sunnah. Our obligation is, our imam is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not anybody else. So there's no harm in following a madhab. There's no harm in someone saying, I understand the Hanafi madhab, I know the usul of the fiqh of the Hanafi madhab. No problem, Habibi, barakallah feek. Don't reach a point though when you have a hadith and you say, I know, but the imam. This is when you have a problem. Once the hadith comes, it overrides everything. Everybody. If you had to choose between Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the Prophet alayhi wasallam, who would you choose? The Prophet alayhi wasallam, Umar and the Prophet, and so on and so forth. Let alone as someone who came after the Sahaba. No way we're going to give him precedence over the Messenger of Allah. I'm saying this because in the Hanafi madhab, it is famous that you can pay money. You can give Zakatul Fitr as money. Money was available at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Yet he said explicitly that Zakatul Fitr is sa', which is a volume of food. And he mentioned examples of barley or dates and whatever. They had gold, they had silver, they had different options. And money was available as well. Not money like riyal, you know what I mean? They had the different means of money, but they had money to purchase things and the coins. Yet, he specifically mentioned food. And he gave food, and the companions gave food, and so on and so forth. Now, from a logical point of view, you might argue, logically, you might argue, but money is more beneficial. Maybe the miskin, the faqir, doesn't need ruz, he doesn't need rice, he needs a thawb. This is where logic comes in. And Islam doesn't go against logic. We entertain logical arguments as long as they don't conflict with the sunnah. Once you have what they call the ulama is athar or naql, you have aql and naql. Naql is a text, aql is intellect. If you have a conflict between the two, which one do you choose? Your brain or the hadith? The hadith, because your brain might be limited, or your brain is different than his brain. He understands this way, he understands it that way. You will never finish, because we have so many different interpretations. So the hadith is overrides everything else. Once you have a textual evidence, the textual evidence is food. So you must give food. Even from a logical point of view, I would say it is better for the miskeen, because it's only supposed to be given to the faqir from among the Muslims. A faqir generally is not trying to be fancy. If you truly found the right target, anything you give him from food is barakah. Something he can store and eat. Instead of him paying money to buy it, you're giving it to him. Especially if five of us gave one faqir, then we gave him now a decent amount of food. The scholars say if he wishes to sell it, that's his problem. That is his issue. He wants to do business. He has so much rice. He sells rice for money. That's his business. But you give him money, he goes and buys cigarettes. And for Eid, he smokes it up. Jazakallah khair. What did you benefit? You give him money, he might do buy a calling card. Speak to his girlfriend. Amen. When you give him food, you've done your job in terms of the revelation. So we must give it in food. And the food, it depends on what the people consume. There's flexibility in terms of the item. The food type is whatever the people eat. Now, the quantity, the sa' al-nabawi is actually 4 mud. And the mud is what is equivalent to the average man putting his hands together to pick up an amount of food in volume. Mind you, if I put iron, metal in my hand, and I put feathers, are they going to be the same weight? Absolutely not. There will be a major variation in the weight, but they will all fit in both of my hands. This is why the scholars specify that it is in liters. It's actually equivalent to 3 liters of food. 3 liters. Now, for simplicity purposes, many of the scholars like Ibn Baz rahimahullah and others, they did their own study and they came up with the equivalence. The equivalence of 3 liters of date is around 2.7 kilos. Rice is around 2.8 kilos and stuff like that. So they came up with an average to simplify things for the people, 3 kilos. So they made the 3 liters equal more or less to 3 kilos. To make it easy, if you're able to measure in volume, then that's ideal that you get 3 liters of food. And it's easy, you can buy a bucket, one of these pots, 1 liter, and you dip it 3 times in the rice from the area where you can get them separate, not bagged already, khalas, you're done. Or you wanna buy a shawal of rice, it doesn't matter. There's flexibility in this area. But make sure that for each person, you have the equivalent of 3 liters, or let's say 3 kilos of food. To be paid when? There's a acceptable time and there's a perfect time. The perfect time, which may be the most difficult to achieve, is between Salatul Fajr and Salatul Eid, on the day of Eid. That means you should know where your target is. And you know that he's available at this time, so you can go after Salat al-Fajr, pay him his Zakat al-Fitr, and continue to the masjid for Salat al-Eid. If this is not achievable, then you may do it from the night of Eid, which is usually from the Maghrib or night before. But actually we have evidence from the Sahaba that they paid it up to 2 days before Salatul Eid, which means the 28th. You cannot do the 27th, because the 27th, it could be that Ramadan is 30 days, now you're 3 days before, you have a problem. Whereas the 28th, you're on the safe side. If it's 29 days, you're still ahead. If it's 30 days, you're still within the 2 days margin. So from the 28th, you're able to pay it off. On behalf of each person in the family, 3 liters of food. That applies. Now we have a conflict. Husband, wife, children. Who does it? Who pays? Everybody or one person? Up to the people. A father may pay on behalf of his wife and kids, or the wife may decide to pay on her own behalf, or the kids may have their own money and they want to pay on their own behalf. It doesn't matter. There's another area of flexibility. But what we want to do is we want to pay it off in the country in which we wind up breaking our fast. Yani, let's say you're here today. Tomorrow you travel to India. You want to celebrate Eid over there. You actually should pay it over there. Most of the fatawa do not really entertain or don't encourage the idea of living in one country and getting it paid in a different country. They only allow this in case of necessity when you don't have access to poor people locally. Like certain European countries where, mashallah, everybody's rich, and everybody who comes to the masjid, you know, if you give him some food, he's going to get upset. It's like, I'm living in a 2-story villa, you're giving me some rice. So in those areas, some of the scholars allow that the person can have it done in another country. Similarly, they give the same fatwa or the same kind of, they allow that you can hire one of these jam'iyat, these organizations, which you give them the money and they do it on their behalf. Not the greatest idea. You don't know who they are. You don't know whether they do everything in the mashi halak, like the rest of the things we see. You know, yeah, Sheikh, it's okay. Ma'alesh, ba'ad bukra. Shu ba'ad bukra. Once you pay it, if Eid comes in and you haven't paid it to the people, it's no longer Zakat al-Fitr. And we don't know whether the people working are, mashallah, diligent, or they're a bunch of lazy people. Honestly, we have experience of lazy people. You get the, give them something and you see that the job is not done until 3 weeks later. So you have a qiyas, you have an analogy, experience of how things are done. I would say, why? When you can go get your own food from Danube, which is 2 minutes away, and pay on your own and khalas, instead of giving someone money and going to sleep, hoping that they will do it properly. They may or they may not. So the scholars say that would be probably the last option. You resort to this when you're really squeezed on time and you have nothing left. Say, Allah musta'an, you pay them off. But ideally, you want to do it with you want to engage the act of worship. The more you engage the act of worship, the more reward you will get. So what else? Are we missing anything? We mentioned the time. We mentioned the type of food on behalf of everybody in the family. Usually in your own locality. Anything else that we're missing from Zakat al-Fitr that you guys know? Approved? The sequence and the items are approved? For the baby? Yeah, for the infant who's not born. If the baby's born, you pay on behalf of the baby. If the baby is not born, it was narrated that Uthman ibn Affan, al-Khalifa al-Rashid radiyallahu anhu, did do it on behalf of an unborn baby. So the scholars left it up to the recommendation. It is recommended because we have an evidence from one of these Khulafa al-Rashideen, but obviously it is not something straight from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so it cannot become obligatory. So for the unborn infant, unborn, what do they call it, fetus, who's still in his mother's womb, it's optional if you want to do it or not. But because of the amount of money, it's usually not too much money for you to buy 3 kilos of rice. I believe, mashallah, alhamdulillah, most of us can afford it. Why not? Yani, why not pay it on his behalf and get the reward? I don't know, something's telling me I'm forgetting something. I will only remember once we say it, shukran, assalamu alaikum, then I'm going to be like, aha, we forgot to mention this and that. So unless someone reminds us now, we will call it off. طيب خير. So that's what it is. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.